Have you ever had one of those weeks that by the end of it, you just really wish humanity would go away? Give them some time. Let them have some space. Land in the easy boy. Somebody bring me a drink. I'm hoping for a barbecue, maybe some decent weather. If it's really nice, I'll skip church. More seriously, there are those in our family who've had one of those weeks. A trip to the doctor with some very unpleasant news. A pink slip. A job transfer. Something that they never expected and they're not quite sure how they're going to cope with. And the emotional, intellectual, and spiritual feelings are overwhelming. And so they come to this place to be re-energized, to be refocused. They come to this place for peace. And they come to this place to know that they are loved in the midst of whatever struggles they're in. This happened for the disciples. In a very short period of time, they went through the Last Supper with circumstances and situations that were far different than anything else. Their leader got on his hands and knees and washed their feet. There was the passing of bread. Suddenly, one of their own burst out of the room into the darkness. They ended up in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus begging for his life. Next thing they know, their leader is arrested, taken away, and beaten, and tortured, and killed. They get so scared, they all get into a room and they hide for a while. And a few days later, one of the women take off in the early hours in the morning and they go and they get to the tomb and come back and announce that it's empty. The proclamation of the resurrection, this is a long, rough week. And after a couple of encounters with what they hope and pray is Christ, one of them says, Peter, enough is enough, I'm going fishing. Now there are some fisher people in this room. I would never say fishermen. There's some fishing people in this room, and you know why you go fishing. It has very little to do with the fish. It has a lot to do with the peace and the quiet and the solace that you're going to get. The time away from the chaos and the confusion and all those things that leave us feeling a little overwhelmed at times. We adore our kids, but will they please go to sleep? We adore our teenagers, but would they please come home on time? We love our spouses, but oh my goodness, they did what? We enjoy our work, but the expectations are beyond. Over and over and over again, they want more and more and more from you. And so we disappear, and some of us who go fishing go as far out into the water as we possibly can. Drop the line and pretend we're actually doing something when we have given our brains and our souls instructions to rest. And so the disciples went fishing and they fished all night. It was not a good trip. A matter of fact, everything went wrong. They went there to relax. They went there to re-energize, to refocus, to re-engage, and they caught nothing. And early in the morning, they say it's daybreak. Some of you are up at daybreak. Some of you are up much later. But for them, at daybreak, they see a figure on the beach. And the figure speaks to them and says something to the effect of, "Did you guys catch anything?" Can you imagine the reaction of a group of grumpy, moody, disappointed, disillusioned men sitting in a boat with nothing to show for the whole night And some guy on the beach asks the obvious question, did you catch anything? You want to know what their real reaction is? Visit Port Dover at daybreak when a boat comes in, there's no fish in it. You'll get language that will clarify their position. And he shouts, put your nets on the other side. Now, here's a question for you. When your spouse, who you love, adore, and respect, corrects you in front of other people, let's say at a family reunion, in the middle of an intense conversation, can you stir those feelings up for a minute? Well, there was 150, and suddenly you hear this voice, there was 10. Well, we went down to Port Dover, it was Port Ryerson. Well, and you know, I was working out. You haven't worked out for the last 20 years. You know, it intensified, doesn't it? Jesus is saying to the disciples, will you try something new? Will you try something different? Will you consider dipping in the water and a new beginning? A new start. Will you consider that? Take your nets and put them on the other side. Now, I know that we have some tradition with the English church, but I want you to know that I do not believe that it went like this. Oh my goodness. Charlie, would you mind tossing the little net onto the other side of the boat? Because the little man on the beach said we should do it. It might have gone a little more like this. For those who are sensitive, plug your ears now. Might have gone like that. We don't like being corrected. We don't like being asked to change. We don't like being asked to do something different than we've done it before. And sometimes we can get a wee bit agitated. Just a wee bit. And they were. And then it happened, the boat began to rock. There was so much fish, and they pulled the fish into the boat. The boat is rocking, and it is an extraordinary moment. And the beloved disciple says to the rest, it is the Lord. Peter jumps up and puts some clothes on. Now, this is so funny. And there are, I got to tell you, there were years, I mean years, as serving as a priest in this diocese, that I never would have raised this kind of topic with Christopher sitting in the room. I mean, he is one of the most warm and generous and thoughtful people I've ever known, but there were years that I didn't know that because I wouldn't go near him. The dude is big. He's got a presence. So I never would have said to him this entire dialogue about whether or not Peter was naked in the boat. You saw that? Peter being naked? I never would have said a word about that to him, that there was this 2,000-year theological debate whether Peter had clothes on or not. I mean, really, who cares if Peter's wearing boxers or briefs? I mean, really, who cares? And yet, you always want to go to the senior priest and say, do you have an opinion on this? But not Christopher. Because he was a little scary. You know, and the other theological issue that I never wanted to raise with him was when Jesus met with Peter, was he bawling him out or was he, did he put his arms out and wrap him and say, Peter, I'm so glad you're back. So glad you're back. You know, it's hard to know where somebody stands theologically, particularly if they got another, you know, 20 years of experience on you or something like that. Can you ask those theological and debating questions? And As you know, with the Pratt family now here as part of our family, it makes it so much easier to have those warm and sincere conversations. Jesus gathered together with the disciples. I find this really funny in the story. Dr. Stephen Ferris says the best way to preach is through story, so I'm always grateful when the gospel is a story. Jesus is on the beach, he's got the disciples, and he's making fish, and they all walk up and they look down and there's a couple fish on the fire, at least that's what we think. And they count each other. Can you imagine this? Then they look at the fish. He looks up and says, "Go get your own. I provided it for you. It's in the boat." They gather the food, they eat, and they share. Now, here's the other theological question that I may have been a little bit hesitant to ask Christopher. Did Jesus rise from the dead spiritually or physically? You know, we've been arguing about that one too. Can we just go with this? Jesus rose. How do I know that it's physical? Oh, there's some evidence. Like on that beach at that time, Jesus takes a piece of fish, puts it in his mouth, chews it, and swallows it. Casper can't do that. There you go. 2,000 years of argument of people much smarter than me solved. Chew, swallow. Physical resurrection. Simple, actually. But I'm sure Chris will have another opinion when I have the courage to ask him. What else happened? Peter got a new beginning. We're about to witness a new beginning. A new beginning in this family. A new beginning for this child. And a new beginning in our community. Symbolized by the baptism, the washing away of the old, the embracing of the new, the inviting into a community. That warm, sincere welcome we extend to those that we care about and say, you're part of us and we're part of you and we're together on this journey. We're together on the journey when things go good. We're together on the journey when things go badly. And no matter what, we will stand shoulder to shoulder with you. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, who you were with, or what happened. As long as you want a relationship with Jesus, that's the only thing that matters here. Oh, I've got some extra energy today, but you know what? That just isn't the focus. This is. Amen.